Welcome to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast, where we talk all things fitness, nutrition, and wellness for women to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life inside and out. And now, your hosts, Laura Jackson and Amanda Quinn.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fit Chicks Chat. I'm Amanda Quinn, and on today's podcast, I have the pleasure of interviewing actually a good friend of mine, Pauline Caballero. Hi, Pauline. How are you?
Great. So excited to be here, Amanda.
I know. We've been trying to organize this for a while now, and I know that both of our schedules are a little bit all over the map, so I'm so happy that we're able to talk today. So for anyone who doesn't know, Pauline is, I actually met Pauline because she is the founder, creator of Yoga Canada, and then through that and through my love of yoga and going and practicing with her consistently, we just became friends, and you know, and now she's become someone who I am very inspired by, and I thought, who better to come on here and talk about yoga and how it inspires people and how to make it more inviting to other people out there that might be a little bit intimidated by it than you. So thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So Pauline, why don't we start off? I would love to just hear your story, your why, because I think, you know, it's always really important for people to hear people's personal reasons why something is so important to them. So why did you choose yoga, or why did yoga maybe choose you? Like, why did this path have come at you
in your life? It's such a great question. You know, it was back in 2004, and I was actually pregnant with my very first son. I had a corporate job, and you know, I mean, I was just so stressed. I didn't know kind of what to do with it. And I really stumbled upon it while I was pregnant. And I stumbled upon something kind of that got me really curious, which was hot power yoga. Mm-hmm. But it was discouraged, I'll say, for me to try it while I was pregnant. So I kind of, you know, I dabbled in it for a little bit and then didn't until after my first son was born. So that would have been, 13 years ago today, next month, actually.
Wow.
And yeah, my why really was because I wanted to figure out how can I move my body and settle my inner chatter. Like, my mind was just going a million miles a minute, from being a new mom to going back to work to really trying to be the best person I could be. Mm-hmm. And I just couldn't shut off my internal dialogue. And then, like, why hot power yoga was really enticing to me, because I also just had a baby and I was looking to shed some pounds, and like, what better way to do that than to throw yourself into a hot, sweaty room?
Yes.
So, I mean, I don't want to sound like all Zen and, you know, zen out. It was definitely a combination of the two. It was a combination of the physical aspect and then the mental aspect of really of just like silencing all of that inner chatter.
And did you find that in the beginning, when you started, did you find that you were able to silence that inner chatter really easily? Or did you find that that was like a really long practice? Because the reason why I'm asking is I feel like a lot of people expect quick results in today's society. That's kind of the way that we are, right? Like, we kind of think that like everything is so easy to us, it's so convenient to us, and we think that everything should come quickly. Like, we should lose weight fast, we should, you know, we should have these quick results with everything. Did you find that with the chatter side of it, since that was a big aspect for you, did that happen quickly, or was that something that is and or was a long practice?
Oh, absolutely not. It did not happen easily. I mean, what it did do is it allowed me, I noticed that I was less reactive. So, you know, my husband wouldn't take out the garbage, and then all of a sudden I wasn't screaming at him. I was like reminding him again. So yeah. I saw slow progress, but really even, I mean, we're 13 years later, and even just yesterday I had to go to yoga last night before I went to bed because I just can't shut my brain off. And I spent the entire class. It wasn't until the very end in Savasana when I was lying there where I was finally not talking to myself. So right. It's definitely a practice and one that I still struggle with. And, but it's a regular practice now of mine, but it definitely didn't come easy.
Right. And so I think that's a really key thing though, right? Is the idea that it is a practice. And, you know, we say that in the yoga community, like we call it a practice, and we call it that for the reason of, it is something that you have to, it's almost like the idea of like, it'll never be perfect. It's just something that you work through consistently just to improve upon, but you'll always have this practice. Do you agree?
Oh, totally. You know, something I just said to my son, because my 13-year-old often practices with me. He's a goaltender in the Toronto Hockey League. And he practices yoga for that, really silencing of his mind and focus, that ability. And then also, of course, the physical element of flexibility and movement. But I even just said to Noah, I'm like, Noah, this is yoga practice, not yoga perfect. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just something that's really important to remember, that it isn't about being perfect. It's really about a practice and coming to your mat every day. I mean, that's really my practice, is hitting my mat. And just for me, part of the journey is that stepping onto it.
Yeah. Actually, I remember, you know, and I haven't practiced with you, unfortunately, in a long time, only because I moved out of the city. But when I move back, I'm going to come back to you. But but one of the things that I remember in your classes was you would always say, like, you know, because everyone looks so serious whenever they're practicing. Like, that's just like a common thing. I've noticed it too. Whenever I'm teaching anything, people just look really serious. And I remember you always saying, you're like, guys, like, it's just yoga. Like, don't worry, it's just yoga. And I remember you always saying that. And I was like, it's so true, because everyone just, it's like they get so competitive with themselves, or they get so like frustrated over things, and it's just like, it's just yoga, like just chill out, no worries. And I love that.
Yeah, it's part of the practices of like even just taking that out into your life. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not just something that has to happen on your mat, but it's those constant reminders of living your life that way every day. Mm.
And so what would you say over the years, because I know that, I mean, you transitioned, and sorry, let's just talk about that for a second, if you don't mind. Like, you transitioned then from, like, your love of yoga became so great that you ended up transitioning from your corporate world and now starting Power Yoga Canada with Kinley, correct?
That's correct, like, yeah.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, and I love that, because I think when something comes from a passion place, it can only be successful, right? And it can only make impact in such a good way in the world. So I'm so glad that you did it. And so what would you say over the years that you have been, you know, an owner of Power Yoga Canada, as well as just even practice yoga, what would you say is the biggest misconception of yoga in Western society? Like, what do you hear a lot of people when they come into the studio? What is that biggest misconception they come in with?
Oh, I mean, really, there's two big things. The first one is I'm not flexible enough to do yoga. I mean, that's just like the number one thing that I hear. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing is the spiritual practice. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have some conflict of interest in terms of, you know, with their religion. But I would say, you know, the number one thing that I do hear is I'm not flexible enough. Just like, you know, I often hear people saying, oh, I need to like get ready to work out. Well, mm-hmm. The answer really is that you're ready now, and that the opportunity is right there for you to gain flexibility and to start your practice. And then in terms of the spiritual practice, I mean, there's really twofold. There's really no, I'll say God that we're addressing or that we're reaching out to. Really the opportunity with yoga is the opportunity to be with yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think often that's something that we just have a challenge with. We're so distracted with our phones, with the apps, and with the speed and velocity in which our lives move at these days, mm-hmm. that we actually, some of the challenges that I see is that we just can't be with ourselves.
Right. Right. You see so many people, like, I mean, how often do you ever see anyone sitting in like a Starbucks by themselves, or even in a restaurant if they're waiting for their friend or whatever, not on their phones, or on public transit that are not sitting there on their phones or something? Like, I agree with you. I think that it's like this lost art that we have in this today's society of just being able to just kind of sit and think. I know it's like, it's one of those things that for me, I try to be mindful of in some ways. Like when I go for a walk with my daughter, I try to make sure that I don't have my phone out. Like I literally am just going for a walk and enjoying nature and enjoying time with her, you know, and that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's definitely a practice too, I think, in today's society. It's become more of something that we have to put more practice into. Would you say?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's one of the reasons why I drag my son and his friends out to yoga, because at least I know I'm guaranteed for 60 minutes that they are just going to be focused on nothing other than the posture and their gaze. I mean, one of the things that we focus on in yoga is your gaze, your drishti. Mm-hmm. Where are you looking? What are you looking to? What are you looking for? Mm-hmm. And just really settling that movement and that mind and that gaze, so you can find some stillness.
Mm-hmm. definitely. And so what would you say to someone listening today, like if they were interested in getting started in a yoga practice, what would you say to them? Like, how could they do that? Like if there's, you know, cause some people think that they have to prep, like what we said about before, like they feel like they have to do certain things in order to be prepared to do the, to do yoga. But what would you say to someone who's like, okay, I think I'm ready. I'm curious about it. How would you get them to sort of, you know, take the leap of faith and actually just give it a try?
Yeah. You know, it's such an interesting question because it's something that I'm faced with quite a bit. And I would say that, for the person that's shy and not wanting to go into a yoga studio and wants to practice yoga before they get going out into public, I would say there's so much free content out on the internet these days that you can YouTube and get a really quick, like 10-15 minute practice. And so I think that would be like the very first thing that I would be doing. And then for the more experienced person, I would say like get out and, you know, get into the studio and get into a community and really start to create that. Create that regular practice and create community and find, you know, people that they can practice with.
And what do you say about someone like who's trying to get over the intimidation factor? Because I do know, like, even for me who, you know, I've been practicing yoga on and off since I was 15 years old. So it's been something that's been a part of my life for a very long time for very different reasons. It comes in and out of my life. I'd like it to be consistent, but sometimes it's just not possible and I'm okay with that. But what would you say to someone who is kind of going into a studio and they're kind of like, wow, like this is really intimidating. Everybody's like, you know, the I always say it's like the pre-yoga happening in the room where there's people doing like headstand stuff and there's someone that walks in and they're like, I've never practiced before. I don't even know what a sun salutation is. And there's all these people around me doing headstands and handstands and stuff. And I'm really overwhelmed and intimidated. How do you get over, how does you help someone get over that feeling of intimidation?
Yeah, I mean, really, it's just an opportunity to take that next step. And so I would say to someone that's brand new, you know, this is the opportunity. Quite often yoga really is a practice on and off the mat. And getting over that fear of people are judging me, because by the way, they're judging you anyways, whether it's at yoga or at the grocery store, people are already judging you. So if you can get over the fact that that's happening and actually create the sense, the opportunity to move and know that through your regular practice and through your habits that you'll eventually feel comfortable as well. I think that's the first step, because if you think of that practice, like how amazing would it be if you're now that seasoned practitioner and there's a new person coming into the room and you're welcoming them. It's actually one of the key pillars for Power Yoga Canada. It's like having anyone that's new, having them feel welcomed and at home. And imagine if that was happening everywhere in the world, because we've all been new at something at some point in time, actually. Whether it's new to riding a bike, whether it's at a new job, whether it's your first day at school, you know, whether you're changing careers, we've all had that experience of like newness. And I would just invite, you know, I would invite you to think about like, what does it look like to like actually enjoy that newness, that experience, that haven't done this before? And what if you could just flip that perspective and be like, yeah, you know, I don't actually have to have this from a less than, but rather than a, what an opportunity. What an opportunity to try something new with fresh eyes for the first time.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. That's a good way of looking at it for sure. And sorry, I meant to ask you this earlier and I forgot. So I just want to jump back to this. When we were talking about the misconceptions of yoga, you were saying, you know, one of the things is like people, the biggest one is I'm not flexible enough, which I laugh because I know that that's the one, because I hear people say it all the time as well. It's the same thing with, you know, our Fit Chicks boot camp, where we hear people saying like, I can't do boot camp yet because I have to get fit to do boot camp. And I'm like, no, that's the complete opposite. Like we're here to help you get to what the place you want to be, not face it. But I feel like one of the other misconceptions, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like one of the other misconceptions with a lot of people is the idea that yoga is just the asana, is just the physical practice. And, you know, I think a lot of people think that, especially in Western society. Would you agree with that? And like, what would you say? Because I know you touched on earlier that it's like the yoga practice is the physical practice on, and then it's also the practice off of your mat. Can you explain that a little bit more to our listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, I mean, the simple movement. So in yoga, we really focus on our breath and we focus on our gaze and, you know, and we focus on like who we are. And I would say that the opportunity is to like, to be mindful both on your mat with your body and with yourself, and be mindful off your mat with others. And so what we see at PYC, at Power Yoga Canada, is just that, that opportunity to take your practice, your movement, your ability to stay longer than you think you need to, mm-hmm. your ability to go deeper into a pose than you really want to, and bring those practices into your life. Like, what would it look like if you were having an argument with your husband and you just stayed a little longer to talk it through? What could it look like if instead of being on your phone answering your girlfriend, you could be present for your son as he's telling you a story about school? What could it look like instead of cutting someone off while you're driving because you're anxious and hurrying to get to another place, if you could just pause for a second and let that individual in? And so that is like where I see the parallels of who we are on our mat and who we can be in the world. Mm-hmm. And really drawing those parallels in. Different than, I'll say, you know, that's the beauty of yoga, because things are, and I don't want to say the word slowed down, but really like intentional. Whereas sometimes fitness can be, you know, really high energy. And believe me, I love both of them, all of them, actually. Mm-hmm. Obsessed with everything fitness. It doesn't matter what, as long as sweat is dripping off my body, I'm in. So, but what I love about yoga is it teaches me practices that I can bring in, even with my employees. Like currently I'm a chief revenue officer for a transportation company, and it's, you know, we deal with high stress situations, high volume, high dollar amount. And what could it look like if we weren't reactive? Instead, we were pausing and really being observant. Mm-hmm. In how we're communicating with our clients.
Right.
Same as I'm in a yoga posture, what does it look like for me to actually be patient and observant as a teacher's holding me in warrior two?
Right.
I don't know if that answers your question.
But. Yeah, no, it definitely does. I think it beautifully answers it, because I think the examples were really clear and helps people really understand the differences. So that's great. And sorry, just touching on, and this is just, you know, touching on what you just said when you were just talking about, like, you know, when a teacher's holding you in warrior two, or if you're in a posture and it's really hard, what is that like? I know that's a big part of the practice. It's probably one of the main parts, in my opinion, for the asana, the whole side of it, is going into those postures and going a little deeper, or holding them for a bit longer than you would like. And, you know, like, I think it is such a mental part of it. How do you help people understand, or, you know, I guess connect to that part, to know that, like, that is part of the work?
Mm. Yeah, I mean, we see it in our body, our flight and fight?
Yes.
Fight and flight. But we see it all the time. I mean, we see it everywhere, and our body goes into that moment. Something happens and we immediately go back to our memory of when something similar happened, and we react to it in a way in which we feel like we can protect ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so our body does that when we're holding a posture. Oh, this hurts too much, so I'm going to back off.
Right.
Versus what's available if I sit here a little longer? Mm-hmm. Could there be some freedom? Could there be a new opportunity? Could I actually realize that I'm stronger than mm-hmm. I thought I was? And so I generally want people to stay just a little bit longer. Like, there's that really cute camp song, I Want to Linger a Little Bit Longer, A Little Longer Here With You. I mean, and that is something that reminds me all the time when I'm in my postures. Like, it's like, I've used this too with some of my students. It's like when you're at a club and just as you want to leave, they play the best song. Consider it like that in your life. You know, like, if you can stick it out just a little bit longer, there's something available there for you. There's a, you know, increased flexibility. There's a new posture. Mm-hmm. My husband and I are in marriage counseling, and our marriage counselor was saying that, you know, the number one trend with people with divorce is like they go through all of the very tough stuff, the new babies, the schooling, the teenagers, and then all of a sudden when their kids are off at college, the number one thing she sees is people break up just when they've done all of the hardest stuff. But like, what's available right after that? Like, consider that there's a whole other world that you're unable to access because you haven't been willing to wait it out. And so that's kind of the analogy that I would use that streamlines right back to our yoga posture. Like, if you can just go up into one more headstand, you could probably stay a little longer. But it's a practice. It's not a all of a sudden thing.
Yeah.
And that's what I think, you know, Seth Godin talks about it in The Dip. The most successful individuals are willing to withstand the lowest points for a longer period of time than the average person. Mm-hmm. So that is another analogy, like right back to your yoga posture.
Definitely. No, that completely makes sense. And I do think, I mean, I think that the mental side of it is so important. And, you know, one of the things that it's actually taught me over the years is letting go. The idea of letting go of like perfection and the idea of like being okay with where you're at in your world. Because I know that there's certain postures that, like, for years I've tried to practice, like I've practiced over and over and over again, and I still cannot do them. And I, rather than getting frustrated, which is how I used to react, I now I'm just kind of like, okay, maybe one day, you know. And that, but that's like taken years to be able to get to that mental space of being able to take that, to take that thought process on, right? And being like, oh, well, maybe one day it'll happen. But allowing myself to understand that in my body and how my practice was working has also allowed me to understand things in my other parts of my life too, right? To be like, well, this is just how it is right now. And so I do agree. I think that there's such a huge connection between how you react in your physical practice and how it can correlate to how you can react in like daily life.
And maybe, Amanda, it's not supposed to look that way for you.
Yeah.
And I think that's,
I think I have short arms.
Yeah. And whatever it is, like for the, whatever the individual, right? I think that's the other thing is like part of the beautiful thing about yoga is that it's, like I said, it's not yoga perfect. It's just like whatever it is, whatever it needs to look like for you on your mat. And, you know, in a world where we're driven by Instagram postures and like Instagram beauty, it's tough and it's a challenge, but it's an opportunity for us to really get clear on like who we are as distinct from other people.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes what our practice looks like. It also includes like what our boot camp practice looks like. It includes what our running distance looks like. Mm-hmm. We are trying to put these cookie cutter models and framework around people, but people are not cookie cutters. Like, we are all unique individuals. And so we need to live as though that is the case.
Definitely. And now, just to wrap it up, Pauline, what would you say to anyone, like, what would be sort of your top tips, I guess, for anyone listening now who maybe doesn't already have a practice, is interested in it? What would be your top tips to get them ready? Like, I know that we talked a little bit about the idea of like getting over the intimidation or getting started, but like, what would be sort of your things that you would say to them to get prepared? You know, because a lot of times, again, from a superficial, I guess, sort of standpoint, people think like, well, I have to get this certain outfit and I have to get the best yoga mat and I have to get this and I have to, you know, go in with all the stuff and like the physical stuff. And then I also have to go in, like, I got to know this practice. Like, would you say like your best thing is just to kind of like, you know, wear what you're comfortable in, maybe check out a beginner class? Like, that would be kind of my thought process. But what would be your, sort of your top tips to get someone comfortable with the idea of starting?
Yeah, I mean, I would say from a practicality perspective, you know, if you're a girl, you probably would feel most comfortable in tights. Beginner class, I mean, I don't necessarily believe in beginner classes. I think practice can be for all. Mm-hmm. I know that's how we practice at PYC. It's for everybody. However, though, like, one of my top tips would be Google yoga practice, practice it on your living room, enroll your family into it, and then do something every day. Do a little piece, do a sun salutation every day, but get into the regular habit and ritual and practice. And that would be my biggest piece of advice, where I've seen the biggest impact in my yoga mat is when I've done it every day, done something every day.
So then do you recommend, I was going to say, so do you recommend then going to practice at a studio every day?
Yeah. I mean, if you can, amazing. And I don't know if that's necessarily feasible for everyone. I know I wouldn't be able to do that, but mm-hmm. what I would recommend is that you have a practice, a daily practice, and it could be for 5 minutes and it could be for 60 minutes. And sometimes you'll have time for more than others. And if you're just starting, start with a 5 minute practice every day. There's great podcasts. There is access to yoga and fitness online everywhere. So I think if you can find something that works for you, do that. And of course, I'm biased, you know, given that we have studios. I love studio practicing.
Yes.
And I think at the end of the day, you need to do what works for your life.
It's funny that you say that, because I mean, I know my practice and, you know, I could practice at home. I don't enjoy practicing at home on my own. I find that when I do, I cheat myself. I won't go as deep, and I will skip like the chair poses and stuff, because I know the sequencing. And I find when I practice in a studio, I'm just more present, and I stay more connected to what it is that I'm actually doing.
Totally.
I won't stop and do laundry in between.
Right.
It's so true though, right? So yeah. So you got to do, I agree. You got to do what's going to work for you for sure.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much, Pauline, for your insight, your energy. Now, for anyone that's listening, that is interested in where you practice, where you teach, can you tell them how they can find more information about Power Yoga Canada?
Yeah, you can find more information on our website at poweryogacanada.com. And we've got studios across the Greater Toronto area. And I believe there are some podcasts online that you can access, but we would love to have you, of course.
Perfect. Awesome. Well, thank you again, Pauline. It was so lovely chatting with you, as always. For anyone listening, of course, if you are interested as well in learning more about what we got going on at fitchicksacademy.com, check us out there. We have our upcoming Fitness and Nutrition Expert Certification Program, as well as our Holistic Nutrition Weight Loss Expert Certifications coming up. And check us out on social media at FitChicks Academy. All right. Thanks again. And thank you all for listening. And I will talk to you again soon. Bye, everyone. Bye, Pauline.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. Want more healthy love? Visit www.fitchicks.com for amazing resources, free workouts, recipes, tips, and so much more to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life, inside and out.